Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
The Bellas.
The Bellas. They were
Bella
fun.
Twins.
So fun. So
oh
cute.
My gosh, and their bellies are so big and they're so pregnant together and it's the cutest thing. Can you imagine being twins and then having babies a week apart?
I know. And this was not by choice, by the way.
Mm-mm.
You got to listen to understand what happened. There's a story behind it. But they were super cute and I love that you could completely tell them apart. Their personalities are so different to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're awesome.
You have like the bad girl and then the good girl.
We kind of say everybody's awesome. I was just realizing we just love people because everybody's so different. Everybody has their own unique thing, of course.
I mean, but imagine if we were like that. These people weren't that great.
You're like, these people look like,
they kind of sucked, but we did them
this
anyway.
Like, but seriously, the girls were so fun. I loved their dynamic. We talked about their childhood, how they got into sports, soccer, how they transitioned into WWE and their whole journey there.
How about the injury? The injuries are just on another
level.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Yeah, I just love an athlete. I love when people push their bodies to do the most that they can do. And it is always very scary and interesting when people push it so much and they go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that like you could have these sort of life altering injuries and then your purpose and your drive is to actually like get back in the ring.
Yep. She didn't have these injuries and was like, oh, well, that's the end of it. I mean, she was like, all right, so when can I get back in the ring?
You would have been like, well, oh, like you would have like broke a finger.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd be like, yeah, that's it.
Guess it's done.
That's it. Yeah. My contract says I still get paid, right?
And oh, my God. So funny. Anyway, love
these
girls.
They have a new memoir out, too. Called Incomparable.
They do. Yeah. They have a new memoir and honestly a really interesting life. And I love seeing women in a predominantly men's world and how they've been able to succeed and what some of their obstacles have been. But their gratitude is so enormous and they've got a great...
They do. They're tough
just,
as shit.
And great
the shit that they had to
spirit.
Take on their way up to. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't necessarily easy for them to sort of break these barriers. And they're inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
They were so wonderful and we enjoyed this and I know you guys are going to love this one. Here are the Bella Twins.
Bella, 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 Bella.
You're so overrun in this one with all these
movies
today.
I know. Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad we got to do this.
So, how far along are both of you?
25 weeks.
You can.
And then she's.
I'm going to be 24 on Thursday. We're literally a week and a half apart.
This is so the cutest
was this
thing
planned?
Ever.
No, we actually both had accidents. Like, both of these were unplanned births.
I literally was told a month before I found out, I was told by my doctors, I did all this testing. They're like, so you have PCOS, you have no estrogen in your body, you only have testosterone, which made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it did.
And they're like, you will have to have help the day you want to have get pregnant. I'm like, what? So then I was like, score, like, I'm not going to use protection. Just two nights, I didn't use protection. And a month later, I found out I was pregnant. I went to my doctor and go, how is this possible? Like, this can't be real. Because I literally just got engaged. But literally, the day before I found out I was pregnant, I felt bad because I went to him. I was like, I think this is too fast. Maybe we shouldn't be engaged. And then the next day, I found out I was pregnant. I go, well, maybe we should be engaged. But, like, let's just wait.
So she literally had, like, the night before. So I had just told her I was pregnant. And
which I was shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked. And she literally was like, I just want to break off the engagement. Like, she went off on this big thing to me, and we had this really deep sister conversation. I am not kidding you. The next day, she walks in my house with a big smile and a positive pregnancy test. And she's like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, wait, 10 hours ago, you and I were having this deep discussion about the engagement. And then she... So I had a really hard time with not only me being pregnant, but with her being pregnant. It was just like a weird Thanksgiving.
Really?
Oh, she was so mad at me. She didn't talk to me for a week.
Why?
Because she thought she was so embarrassed that everyone was going to know we were pregnant at the same time.
Like twins being pregnant.
I get it. Like, I get why you might feel that way. You know, it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is so stereotypical, but it was a mistake. And now you fucked my whole shit up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's go back. I want to hear about your upbringing, your childhood. You grew up in Arizona. Oh. Daddies, mommies. Give us the lowdown. Where were you conceived?
Yeah, so we were conceived.
San Diego.
Yeah, our Cali parents, my mom got pregnant at 18. Her and my dad were freshmen in college. And, well, my dad wasn't in college. They were high school sweethearts. So my mom has an 18, but the best is because she was a teen pregnancy, they didn't do ultrasounds or anything. So she just assumed she was having a big baby boy. And then pops out Nicole, this 5-pound baby. And she's like, oh, okay. And then it was 16 minutes later that they realized I was still in the inside.
Oh.
And they're like, oh my gosh, you have another baby. And my mom literally told him, no, I'm not going to push. I already pushed. And then... here I came. I know she tells me the story, and I'm always like, thanks, Mom.
That says so much about her first.
Yes. Oh, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, of course you did.
Yeah.
That's like exactly right, what she would say.
Yeah. I'm done pushing. Now what?
And then our childhood was kind of like, it was rough. Like, there was some really good parts. There were some really bad parts. Our dad was a struggling drug addict, but my parents were kind of just kids trying to raise kids. So they were just figuring out their life while we were in the picture. And then my brother came along 2.5 years later. We all loved each other, but it was just like the household was just a little.
Well, we played soccer. We felt like that was like kind of our getaway. We did competitive soccer. It was our life. Hmm. And then Bree quit before college, which the plan was pay for your college. She's like, screw it. I'd rather be a Hooters girl.
But what
big
what,
dreams?
What were the difficulties of growing up? Was it your relationship between your parents? How was their relationship like fraught?
So my parents had an awful relationship, and it was actually habits that we really had to go to therapy for to like kick out of our system in our 20s, because we started to realize
still in therapy, right, trying to kick it out.
Yeah,
me too.
You definitely with relationships.
Okay, well, you should be back in therapy.
So, but you know, like my dad wasn't faithful. My parents split a little bit, would split, come back together. They were always fighting, which then made us kids like think like, okay, to communicate, it's all about yelling and screaming and fighting. And it really took my husband to be like, listen, you might argue that way, but I don't. Like, I can't get to that level. And so I really had to teach myself in the beginning with him to just argue differently and just to be able to be calmly like talk about stuff. But that's always what we saw in our household. And when my parents divorced when we were 15, it was like we were really relieved because the house became happier, but it also...
We got wild.
Yeah.
I feel like even like our father was so strict, and it is crazy. And I think so many divorced kids go through this. Like when the parents split, you just kind of, you're like, have this instant freedom because everyone, now when you're older, you see, oh, they were just trying to get through things and their own battles. We got so wild.
Yeah, but we're 15.
Thank God it was only 2 years of high school wildness.
And during this time, though, were you both really close? Like, were you wild together?
Oh my gosh.
For sure.
It's funny because even though we're identical twins, my mom, starting third grade, made us be in different classes because we caused so much trouble when we were in the same class. And so we kind of ended up getting our own friends, but we were always still like best friends and we had our own personalities. But during that time, like we really leaned on each other and I was probably a little more wild.
Yeah, I was going to say for sure.
Yeah, I was a little more of a rebel and wild. Brie would try to calm me down.
She was more sexually advanced at the age of 15. Well, I was a little bit of a prude still. I was like, I don't know.
I was like, really, this new life, let's experience everything.
Did you guys try to rein each other in at all? Or was it like, let's just go free for all and then figure it out?
So we went free for all for a little bit. Yeah. And then I started to date this really great guy. And he kind of just turned me around and was just like, pretty much like, what are you doing?
He's like a light.
He was. Yeah. He was a light in my life. And he just was like, just because your dad is MIA doesn't mean like you have to act like this. And just kind of like, your dad's going through his thing. That's his life. Like, figure out your journey. And he, at a young age, I was kind of like, oh gosh, okay, I guess that's true. So he really turned me around. And unfortunately, I actually lost him my senior year of high school. He was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh,
but
shit.
He always, his presence and like how he made me very spiritual. And I just, it was crazy how like he changed me from my, like my parents' divorce, even though I ended up losing him, which then made me go a little crazy. But I still kept his spirit with me to like just remember to stay like, it's my journey. Everyone else has their own. Like,
right. So he was in your life for a very important reason, even though it was
really
maybe short lived. Yeah.
Like an angel. Yeah. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah. And were you guys always together? I mean, were you guys always sort of in each other's faces, and or was there times when you were like, just leave me the fuck alone. Let me do my own thing.
Oh, us two for sure. I hated her high school boyfriend. Hated. She like started to date this one guy. He was bad news. She finally realized it years later.
I mean, yeah.
But that period of time, we were always like kind of at each other because it was killing me to see her like be just so under this guy's spell. And I was just like, oh, like for real, like wake up. And so her and I would really go at it.
We would. It was, what was that, just junior year? Or it was just a good like 2 years where there was like a lot of fighting and everyone hated everyone. And it was just, I mean, I hated him too, but couldn't get away from it.
You have a brother.
Yeah,
we do. He's 2.5 years younger.
There's three of you all together.
Yes. And then we have three other half siblings from my dad. One's a year older than us. And then we have two younger. We're not really close with our older one, but the younger two we kind of just reconnected with. But my brother's like from both. We're all the same.
We grew up
mother
together.
And,
where did your brother fit into all this? You know what I mean? Like,
so my brother had the hardest time out of all of us. I think Nicole and I don't know if it's
because we had each other.
We had each other, and being female, when my parents split, we were relieved because we were like, they've hated each other since we could remember.
We like pushed it towards the end.
Yeah. We're like, you guys got to split.
I literally went to the principal in our high school and was like, you might want to get the police involved because my mom needs to choose me or my dad. Like, I mean, when I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I did that, but that's just, I couldn't take it anymore. And so literally the school called her and was like, so you have to choose your daughter or your husband because your daughter won't go home. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. So my brother took it the hardest and we kind of saw a huge change in like his personality and just how he was. So, and I think too, cause there was stuff going on like that he knew about that he didn't want to tell my mom that he saw. So he was holding in like a lot of guilt and pain,
anger.
And so, my brother like really just like was not good with it. And we tried with him, but.
Well, but then we left 2 years later.
Yeah. Then her and I, left the house.
So he was on his own
with it.
Where is he? What's he doing now?
So he's here in Arizona too. And he has two little girls and one of them's 8 months older than my little girl. And they're super close and it's cute. But
he's wild. We call him Vacation JJ because it's like he's on vacation every day. So, and he loves it. He's like thinks it's the greatest nickname.
So you guys were both super athletic when you were young.
Yes. Yeah.
And you were soccer players.
Yeah. We played.
And what were your positions?
I was center mid, never got the credit I deserved.
Me too.
Okay, so we were there for offense, we were there for defense, but offense everything. And defense gets everything.
So I was sweeper.
Good runners.
Yep.
Yeah. And I won all the awards, and that's what she would always say.
Okay, I won awards too.
But I got the bigger ones.
Because you were a sweeper, and defense gets everything.
Hey, I stopped a lot of goals to where I even sacrificed my tibia.
Oh, that's right. You broke your leg, right?
Yeah. How'd like that, right in half.
Oh,
a week before
snap.
I signed in a full ride scholarship.
I want to understand what happened.
You know, we both are very competitive, but I was a whole new level. When I look back, like, I was cocky. I would yell.
Still are.
No, I'm not. I am not cocky. And I was very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was for a stupid game for fourth place or third place, right?
Yeah. And the girl got a breakaway and she went to shoot the ball.
I slide tackle. How would you say that?
Slide tackle.
We don't have good grammar.
As she was taking the shot, no. And we just hit shin to shin. My shin snapped in half. It made the loudest noise where everyone on the field was like, oh. And like my whole right side just like shut down.
Yeah. And the positive is the firemen who came were super hot.
Super hot. The ref hated me. So she was like, you can walk off the field. And I was like, you're crazy.
But my dad actually was there and he ran onto the field and picked you up.
So that was the one nice thing he did at that time. He ran on the field and picked me up. And then I like started to feel a little better when all the like five hot firefighters were working on me. I was like, oh, wow.
I was like, oh, my gosh. But
then my parents
Why
didn't have
I
good
feel
insurance.
Like we're very similar in our high school years.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
But then what sucked is they wanted to take me in their car, well, their ambulance. And or no, their fire truck. Well, I don't know where.
No,
no,
it was
ambulance
an ambulance.
Game. But then
fire truck.
Whatever. My dad's like, oh wait, we have shitty insurance. So then I had to go on my dad's truck and then be driven to the hospital. And I was like, well, damn, this sucks. But that's okay. Saved them money.
I'll just share my little breakaway story. So I was super fast, and we were kind of like the underdog. So they would always move me to a defensive position if we had a really fast striker. And there was this girl, her name's Skylar Little. She actually went pro. But anyway, Skylar had a breakaway. She had about a foot and a half on me, like one step and a half on me. And that was just no way. It was a playoff game. I was like, I will die if I let her get this breakaway. And I did the same thing. I slid tackled.
Why did that sound so right?
I think it's slide tackled, not slid.
You know, it is. I keep like saying in my head, I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
But I got the ball. No broken tibias.
Ugh,
I got lucky. The ball. She got so mad. I was on the floor that the ball kind of went back and hit somebody and came back to her feet. And she got so mad. And I was lying on the floor that she took with her entire might and kicked the ball into my stomach and knocked the wind. I've never had the wind knocked out of me like this. And got red carded.
Yeah.
That red card.
And then we were done with Skylar. We ended up winning the game. It was great.
That is a good breakaway story.
Dang, a lot better than mine. The outcome.
Well, you had scholarships, right? I mean.
Yeah. So then the league was up for the women, and I was going to play for the Arizona Heat Wave professionally, and then also play at Arizona State University. And it just all, everything went away. Everything. And honestly, I was like really down because I lost everything. They're like, my leg was so broken and they didn't know how it would come back. And then they kind of messed up on the surgery. Like my screws were sticking out of my ankle. Oh, I was like, is that normal? It's about to go through my skin. And they had to redo it. And it's still never been the same. Like I've broken it twice wrestling because I didn't realize I was supposed to get the rod out like over a decade ago. And I still have it in. So I'm bouncing around the ring and I would be like, I think a metal bar is about to go through my knee. And it would just...
Did it happen actually in a match?
Well, it was crazy because it was seven years ago when Divas came out, Total Divas.
Yeah.
And I kept feeling so much pain in my right leg, but I didn't want to tell anyone. And so, because I was finally like getting a wrestling storyline and you know how all that goes. It's just like, you don't want to give up your spot. And one day I looked down and I'm like, oh my gosh, my shin's sunken in. And so I go, I had to go get an MRI, and the doctor's like, your shin is like pretty much snapped in half again. It was the rod that was keeping everything in place. He's like, how have you been walking? I'm like, well, I've been so much pain. Then I had to get put into a wheelchair for a bit, and they still made me travel to TV every week. So I was like, had to go to the airports early and sit and wait for someone to push me to the gate. And like, ugh. It was so frustrating, but it happened twice, like where in matches. Nothing worse than my broken neck, but I've broken a lot of bones.
You broke your neck?
Yeah.
How'd you break
about your broken neck?
Yeah. So I had this finisher called the rack attack. So I put like a girl on my shoulders and like she'd be facing up, and then I jumped to my knees, and it's like as if their back breaks in half.
Okay.
Well, it was literally starting to break my neck over time. Jesus. And like stuff in the ring would be happening where like if someone would kind of jump on me a certain way, like my legs would give out, or I would start to wake up in the night and told Bree, like, I can't like lay on my body, or I couldn't feel my legs. And so I would like tell people, like our doctors, like, hey, I think something's wrong with me. And they're like, you're run down. I'm like, I've been an athlete my whole life. This doesn't feel like I'm run down. Like my legs sometimes go numb. Sometimes I can't walk. Sometimes I fall because my legs go numb. All this different weird stuff was happening. Well, eventually I get an MRI and my neck, I had no spinal fluid. I was about to say fusion. No spinal fluid for my C2 to my C7. And my C6, C7, pretty much my disc was going through my spinal cord.
Oh,
like I was, the doctor's like, if I was to slap your back right now, he goes, you'd be decapitated or paralyzed waist down. Like he couldn't believe what I kept wrestling with. And so I had to get surgery. And I found this doctor in Florida who was like, I really wanted just a bone fusion, where another doctor wanted to give me like a fake neck. Mm. And this doctor was like, I think I could create this instrument, go in, fix everything, and then give you a bone fusion. But he goes, I have to, you know, if it doesn't work, you have to get a fake neck. And
jeez.
Yeah. He ended up creating a miracle. I got a bone fusion and I went back into the wrestling ring 7 months later. And then got injured 9 months later. And now I'm done. But
yeah, good. What the fuck? Yeah. Forget it. Stick with the reality shows. This is fucking insane.
Yeah. I don't know what's harder, reality shows or wrestling with a broken neck.
I know.
Just kidding. Oh, really? Which one?
Physically.
Yeah. You want to wrestle a lot of people when you're filming reality.
God.
Oh my gosh, wow. Your body has been through so much.
So much. Yeah, my poor body.
Wow. I know.
It hates me.
Me, on the other hand, I...
Nothing.
No. She says because she sleeps a lot.
By the way.
Well, I used to until a kid.
You know.
But I would sleep all the time, and I was like, Nicole, like, try to sleep 10 hours like me, pre-kid, and your body will heal itself.
Why, Nikki, you don't sleep. You're just up?
She's a horrible sleeper.
But not by choice. I was given this. It's not fair.
So what do you mean? Like, you just can't go to sleep at night? I mean, or are you just a night owl or what?
Like, I just, my mind, I feel like, keeps me up all the time, but I could sleep a good solid 3 hours, and I've always been like this. And then I'm up, and then I will go back to sleep, and I'm up. But it's rare, since I've had drunken pass out days in college, that I would sleep like 8 hours straight.
It's so interesting, though, just the genetics of it all. You know, you guys are identical, but there are so many differences.
Yeah. We're so different. We actually will see other twins, and we'll be like, we'll even like be taken back and be like, whoa, they're really like twin-like. Even though we do live next door to each other and we do like everything together.
Yeah,
but
I feel like we don't ever look at each other like twins.
Yeah.
And we never really have. Like,
it's true.
Like, we've always looked at each other as friends. Yeah. We fight like twins.
Well, how is it though? I mean, you're actually, you know, it's so crazy that it was just a total accident that you girls got pregnant together, but it has to be fun now, right? I mean, it has to be.
It definitely is fun. I mean, the one hard thing is because of the times, we had to cancel everything. So baby shower, sprinkle. Like, I feel bad for Nicole because I had a baby shower with my first, but she doesn't get one now. We wanted to do really fun maternity shoot together because we are having fun now with our pregnancies. But everything kind of got canned. But we both, at least every day, like, we have the same cravings and the same symptoms.
Oh. And I'll admit, I'm super lucky because I feel like what people their first time around kind of call the doctor every second when they feel something. Like, I just go to Brie And I kind of feel like I'm almost too relaxed. Like I haven't read any books or done any classes because I just ask free stuff every day.
Which I don't know if that's
where
good.
I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. But then I look at my fiance and I'm like, we're so not okay because he doesn't know anything. And then I don't. And I feel like we're going to come home from the hospital. And we're going to look at each other and be like, what do we do now? Like, we're just going to call Bree.
Bree, come over. You don't even have to call. You can just yell. You'd be like, yay! Honestly.
Throw something at my window.
Literally, anytime I need something, I'm like, can you just go put it on the wall? So like our backyard wall has become like where we place things to give to each other.
Oh, that's the best.
Function of beauty. It functions for your beauty.
I'm incredibly excited about this because I was running out of my shampoo and conditioner. And our new friends at Function of Beauty gave me a code so that I could check it out. When you start, you do a short 4-question quiz.
Oh, yeah.
They ask you kind of what you want for your hair. What are your hair needs? Curly hair, straight hair, wavy hair. And then they deliver your hair care system. I went with the wavy and I went with color treated and then no dye. And it's clean beauty, which I love. So there's no sulfates, no parabens. These things can, over a period of time, can have really harmful effects. So clean beauty, like Function of Beauty, is to me everything.
Right. And they don't use phthalates. You can personalize it and then you can create your own little formula. And then you can create a fragrance that you think best represents that person in your life. That's a pretty cool
thing. Don't you even put your name on it?
Yeah, you can do a whole thing. You can... Mm-hmm. You can customize the print and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm in. So to get started right now, go to functionofbeauty.com/sibling to take your 4-part hair profile quiz and save 20% off on your first order. Don't spend another minute in hair misery. Go to functionofbeauty.com/sibling to let them know that we sent you. That's functionofbeauty.com/sibling. I read that you guys, so your strengths are your weaknesses and your weaknesses are your strengths, right? So what are, let's get into that for a second. What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? How does she complete you? How do you guys complete each other?
Oh, I'm someone who can, like, I like a simple schedule. And sometimes I'm one of those people who, like, if you give me a couple days in a row where I can wake up and do absolutely nothing, I'm going to take advantage of that. I love it. My sister doesn't. Every day we got to work. We're going to put stuff in. She's very driven. And it's nice because she pushes me in that way. And sometimes when I might not want to go the extra mile, she gets me to go that extra mile where my husband wouldn't. He'd kick back with me.
Yeah.
So it's great to have that. But at the same time, I think what I've done for my sister is I don't believe you have to work 7 days a week. I believe you do need self-care time. You do need days to wake up in the morning and just enjoy your coffee in the morning and not have anywhere else to go. So I've slowed her down a bit because I'm like, Nicole, why have this plate all full and just like you're stressed out all the time? Mm-hmm. So I believe that works out for each other. And then when it comes to business stuff, she can get very like hot quick. Like someone pisses her off in a meeting, like she'll be quick to want to say something. And then I'm like the nice one who comes in to calm the situation, to kind of just be like, so what my sister said in her angry words,
that's not, you know, I think when you've been in a male dominated industry for 13 years and like your voice would never get heard, it's like in business, I just have grown to be like, I come at people like quicker because I had a fight. We had a fight for it, but she's right. It is how we complete each other. It's like we definitely are yin and yang, like for sure. And I think that's what's made this work beyond like a marriage or right. A sister, twins, like as far as a partnership.
Like how many
business.
Times have I told you, don't tweet that. Don't do it. Don't tweet it.
Well, that was like in the past. I don't tweet mean anymore. But I mean, I tweeted
pull her
some
back.
Hate. People deserved it then. Like, and I didn't even care. I was like, I'm so happy you saw that and knew it was about you because I didn't want to text you it because I don't have your number.
Well, that's something refreshing about that, though. You know, it's that unfiltered sort of fuck it attitude.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but you know, you have your sisters sort of pull you to rein you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I tell her all the time, I love that attitude, but I go, but we also have a brand and it could now ruin your brand.
I'm well, like, I mean, so- I think twice about like the stuff I'm going to say to them. I'm like, okay, maybe delete that and add this word.
The thing that sucks about having to let go of the feistiness, because I'm super fiery and super feisty, is that you think that it kind of defines who you are, and right. But it never really gets the result that you want, ever.
No,
and ever.
We have to manage our reactive emotions, because especially, by the way, women in male-dominated industries, because our power, especially as women, is to be quite, to be our own witnesses, to be observant, yeah. to be able to communicate, to listen, to nurture, and then to attack.
Yeah.
But you attack differently than being reactive, because that just scares people away.
Right. And then it becomes, sounds like emotional. That's what, like, sometimes I always say. It's like, you're first, like me, and there was a business partner not a couple weeks ago, kind of got into it. And she came at me in a way that felt emotional. But I feel like when women come at someone really quick, in your head, the first thing you think is like, oh, that was very emotional instead of professional. And maybe if a man came at me that way, I'd probably think differently. I don't know. But that's what I said. We don't ever want to come off like emotional.
Right. But I feel like the past few years I've started attacking people with smiley faces and like, you know, when you give like that backhanded compliment, it's like, oh my God, I just read your bio and you believe in God and Jesus is first. Have a great day. I love your comment. Smiley face. I would just start throwing that stuff at them so they could think about who they are as a person. And then the next time they write something mean on my page, they should think about Jesus first and God is great. And
she does do that a lot, which I do admire. I find it really funny. And we started this thing because in wrestling, we'd get a lot of hate.
I should stop that. I am almost 37. I know. But it is fun.
We'd get a lot of hate in wrestling at times. So we started this thing like, haters going to hate, Bella's going to bawl. Because every time a hater would make a comment, we'd just start bawling even more. And we were like, wow, like keep hating because it makes us greater. So
people but, hate that, but it's great.
Yeah. So we'd always do that. Like just kind of.
What kind of hate, though, would you guys get?
People, we had a lot, because where we came out in the industry, so my sister and I came into the industry different than other wrestlers, and people felt we didn't deserve to be there. And it was really interesting because what we realized quickly in wrestling, if you didn't have the passion for wrestling as a really young kid, it was like, oh, then this was never your dream. It's like, no, I came across it in my early 20s, and I thought it was badass, and I wanted to do it, so why can't I have a dream at the age of 21? Mm-hmm. But in the wrestling world, it wasn't allowed. And we had to like fight so many people on hate of us being accepted. It was like they wouldn't accept the Bella Twins.
Well, it's and you guys probably know this, when you become more successful, I feel like sometimes that breeds hate in our industry. Brie and I were becoming like the most successful women that WWE ever had. And when the reality shows came, it was like when they got really successful, there were so many people in that industry that didn't think that would happen. So when that started to happen, and it also brought more women to the WWE product, people wanted to hate on us for it. And then it was like when we started dating guys that were very well known, it was like, well, that's why she's dating that guy and she's with that guy.
I mean, talk about building you up to break you down.
Yeah.
But would the haters be like hardcore wrestling fans who were like, you don't deserve this? Like that kind of
thing? Yeah. And I mean, it's like the online ones, because the people like, and that's what I would always tell her. That's like 10% of the fan base.
But they have the loudest voices.
They do. We call them smart marks in our industry. And because of everything we would start to build. And then also we were the mean girls, like our characters. So we were the bad, like legit heels, bad girls. And they would believe everything that was being said in promos. And don't get me wrong, some of the girls that would get on the mic because of how they were with Brie and I, they would say stuff like, they just attack us in ways and the fans would believe it. And it's crazy still to this day, the hate we will get from...
I mean, we got inducted to the Hall of Fame this year for WWE.
Yes, I read that. And congratulations. Yeah, that's dope.
I mean, to have Vince McMahon call you and give really you all these dope reasons why he wants to induct you was, I mean, it's
amazing.
Real.
But we were trending 2 days straight because fans were disgusted that
they were so mad.
Yeah, but that means you did something right. You did something
right? Even when the New York Post has to write about it, I'm like, whoa.
And Forbes. And Forbes wrote about it. They're like, damn. And like, we were like, yeah, we thought the same. But oh, wow, we're getting inducted. Yeah.
Like, just wait for those comments to come back.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at everyone's bios.
With the kissy
call them
face.
Out.
Yeah. But is it mostly females who are hating?
No, males.
Males.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I always tell Brie, they just know I could kick their ass, so they can't handle that.
Why are they so upset? Like, in what world? Like, why?
I don't know. It's funny because my husband and I will talk about this all the time because the fans that hate us love him. Mm-hmm. And it's bizarre because they'll be like, Brie Bella, oh, she should never be in wrestling. Daniel Bryan, he's like wrestling God. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's so weird. We're like married. We've been together 9 years. Like, but like,
they probably think you casted a spell on him.
Probably. But it's like this, I don't know. They just, because we didn't come from what to them, the indie market, this independent market. Mm-hmm. We came in differently that they never thought we were worthy of the WWE.
How did you come in?
So we came in through a thing called Diva Search. It's almost like Glow. Have you ever seen Glow on Netflix?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's how we came in. They were looking for female wrestlers, and I saw it.
I auditioned for that, I think.
You did?
No. Yeah.
No. That's awesome.
That actually is. Yeah.
All right, keep going. Keep going on your successor.
So we did Diva Search, and I was like, Nicole, come with me. Like, we can, like, tell. We loved entertainment. Like, growing up, even though we were soccer players, we loved drama. We loved entertainment. Every time, like, there would be big boxing parties at our house, we'd always ask if we could lip sync to the Spice Girls during intermission. Like,
so embarrassing.
So when I saw WWE, I'm like, these girls are aggressive. They fight, but they're telling stories. They're like characters. And so we went, and we actually didn't make it. They were like, no. But we showed up to fight. Like, we were wearing, like, kicks and, like, bandanas. Girls were, like, dressed up as go-go dancers.
Yeah.
So we weren't their look. But we begged to wrestle, and so they flew us out to McDonough, Georgia, and we got in the ring, and we were like, this is it. Like, this is what we want.
Fell in love.
So we got these, like, penny contracts. Mm. Like, it was for no money. We were making more money working at the Sky Bar off Sunset Boulevard than the contract we were offered. But
did you work at the Sky Bar?
I did.
Did you actually work at the Sky Bar?
I worked at Sushia on Sunset and the Sky Bar.
Sushi on Sunset, that was the jam. I used to love that place.
Sushi on Sunset was the spot.
Oh, God,
it was
that's
the spot.
So crazy.
The spicy tuna.
And I worked there way back in the day. I was 19.
You were 19?
Oh,
then
I probably saw you.
You probably were
I was probably your guys' waitress. I was there all the time.
God.
Remember your interview for Sushia, and I sat in it, and then the guy all of a sudden, the owner looked at me and goes, are you her manager? And I go, no, I'm her sister. And he goes, do you sit in all of her interviews?
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought in my head, why am I sitting in her interview? I like wanted to make sure she got the job because you needed a job. Really
I needed
bad.
Money.
And
yeah.
I thought, like, I don't know if I stared him down by sitting there, like you were going to get it. I'll never forget that.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I can't like, believe I actually
your
allowed
mom
that.
Boss next to you. Like.
Yeah. That is so funny.
That is funny.
Oh my God. So then you went to Tampa and then you started wrestling and then.
Yeah, we started to learn the craft of wrestling and then we started to wrestle like around Tampa. So we'd wrestle at boys and girls clubs, at high schools, at the flea market, at churches.
I mean, it's crazy where we've wrestled.
And we actually dealt with racism, which was nuts because we considered like West Coast, you don't deal with that. And when we were driving through the South and then we went to Tampa.
You guys, our first time in Alabama, because we decided we thought it'd be so fun to drive from California to Florida and make it like a road trip. And we stopped in Alabama. We're like, oh, we've heard Alabama's
and Mobile.
Cool.
We stopped in Mobile, Alabama.
And we're like, what's this place called? Mobile. So we like walk into a bar and we're like so excited. And it's like all these bikers everywhere. We're like sitting having drinks. Can't believe like we're actually in Alabama.
Yeah.
And they like these people walk up and they like kick the chairs because we were at a table for four. So there's two and they kick them. We're like, whoa, we're just thinking like, people are drunk and gonna have fun. And they're like, hey, you're kind isn't welcome to you. And we're like, what? Are kind? And they're like, yeah, we're like California girls because we just weren't thinking. They're like, what? No, you're kind.
They go, you belong in the bar down the way. And we're like, okay.
And they made and some Mexican.
Yeah, they like, said, like,
made a Mexican comment. And I was like, oh my gosh, whoa, we're dealing with racism. It's real. It's,
yeah.
And then we ran. Then it got pretty aggressive and we had to leave. And then we went to the bar down the way and it was a jazz bar. And walked in. We're like, are we allowed to be in here? Yeah. And they're like, yeah. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed on the other side. I don't know if we're allowed on this side.
Wow, that's crazy.
We were allowed in the jazz bar.
Yeah. It was crazy. And we had our first match. Now, granted, it was like 20 people in the crowd. We were at this one high school. And we came out and we're supposed to be the good guys. So we're like smiling, like, yay. And they're like, spick, spick, spick. And we were like... Yeah. Like still smiling, like what?
And I remember going to Brewin. I think they're going to Spitz.
And then every time we do something, they boo, and we're like the good guys. So they love the heels beating us up. Like they loved when the bad guys beat us up. And like anytime we do something great, they'd be like Spitz. And we were like,
wow, this is
crazy. It was the craziest thing. So eye opening.
Yeah, because never in our lives growing up. I mean, we're Mexican, yeah. Italian, British, Irish. We're yeah. the American mutt. But to them,
that's crazy.
It was crazy. It opened up our eyes, definitely.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
And then just wrestling. And I remember my mom came out and my boyfriend at the time and watching us wrestle in flea markets and these little bars. And my mom's like, I mean, you guys kick ass in there, but are you sure this is what you want in life? And we're like, no, we do. We know we're going to do something great with it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that. I don't understand the haters then, because it seems like you girls paid your dues. You know what I mean? Like you were on the road, you were wrestling for 20 people and you were, you know,
right.
running the small market circuit. Yeah. Like, why is that not paying your dues?
I feel like when you're at the forefront of like a revolution, you're just, it's like no matter what you do, you're just the blame for change. And I feel like because we are at the forefront for women wanting more and, you know, just women breaking all these barriers, Bree and I I don't want to say the blame of it, but it was like, how can women be doing this? It has to be because of those two girls and who they're dating and who they're this. And if these girls we like don't like them, then we can't like them. And it was crazy because it's like everyone had to find an excuse of why women were actually changing the game. And Bree and I were at that front part. And so it's like they can't let it go of like why this change for women has happened.
Right. And I think because we wrestled in front of those type of crowds for over a year, where they look at someone like my husband who did that for 10 years until he made it to WWE.
Okay.
There's always so much comparison. And I always think to myself, like, and this takes me back to high school, like everyone's journey is different. Like why do we, in WWE sometimes I don't understand why we always have to be compared to how our journey was coming here. Like we all had some type of journey to come here, you know? And so it kills me. Like my sister and I, since the soccer field, we've been a tag team. Like anytime a girl would push me, Nicole would run up and take a girl out and get a red card and be out of the game. But like we've always been a tag team. It's like, it's actually been the time we started wrestling. It was a 23 year process of being a tag team. But it is hard that fans don't, and it's not all fans, but that the loud ones don't see it that way.
I mean, and other fans get frustrated because they'll be like, it's not cool to hate the Bella Twins anymore. I think it was cool for a little bit when we were on TV and it was part of the story. The gimmick's done. And so.
Yeah.
But who is in charge of that gimmick?
So you can like present ideas to Vince or sometimes they'll come to you with ideas. But like at WWE, we do our own costumes. Unless they have like a specific idea for you, but like you kind of come up with your own character. And if it gets over with the crowd, Vince is like, okay, like this is working. I like it. And right. So we've learned so much about connection, especially with live crowds, because if the crowd isn't cheering you or booing you, like you're done. You won't get booked. And so your goal is to become whoever you think you could connect with.
So do people have to try out characters, meaning like, oh, shit, okay, we're going to try this. This doesn't work. Then I'll try this. That didn't work until you've hit one?
Yes. And that's why, like, developmental was important because you try out so many just to see, like, what the crowd feels, to see if it works for you, to see if the higher-ups like it. But it is funny how many, like, gimmicks you'll kind of go through to see what
Yeah, but
fits.
I feel like if you go through too many, you get fired.
That is
They're
true,
kind of like, yeah, you're just not working out, kid.
Did you guys have a couple or were you just one and done?
We did. And you know what we found worked for us was not being twins. Because of the reality show, it was Vince really saw that we are two different people.
People connected to us in the beginning, though, because it was something different.
Yeah, we were the first identical twin girls to ever debut in WWE. But it was like weird the minute that Nikki started to be like her, like this sassy jock, and then I was like this grungy like girl next to her. We just kind of took our personas and we're like, well, let's try it. And we didn't know if it was going to work, because we're like, people might want us to look identical. It was like crazy just how it took us to the next level. And so we were always just so twin, and, you know, Latina twins or sporty twins. But it was like the minute we were ourselves, yeah, it like worked.
Did you try other iterations before that, though, so, where it was like, oh, shit, that didn't work. Okay, that kind of worked. Or was it boom right then and there?
I feel like because we're identical twins and kind of our debut story, we always would have one twin wrestle. And then at some point, the one twin would go underneath the ring and the other twin would come out and always beat then the opponent. And people really got hooked that, because then there wasn't social media when we started, which is so crazy to think. Yeah. So no one knew there was twins. So the day when the girl got so sick of it and put her hand under the ring and wasn't going to let the one twin go and like yanked out two girls, the crowd went crazy. Like, wait, there was two this whole time? So I feel like people connected to us early on because we were twins. It was just them finding our way after that, like our look. Because it's weird what WWE fans then like kind of connected with. Brie and I were so not the girls that they like, they really loved just the beautiful blondes that, mm-hmm, you know, were voluptuous, and we were so opposite. So we kind of had to like figure our way out from there. But the twin thing, we were lucky always people I felt like did connect with.
Yeah.
Do you find that now that you're, because you're both no longer wrestling, right? I mean,
no.
It's just, okay. So, and you don't think you're going to go back?
No.
I mean, I would love to, but my last fight was against Ronda Rousey, and it was cool because we main evented the first ever all women's pay-per-view. And it was an awesome story. Like, we got super intense. But I was going to go back for the tag titles with her, and I wasn't feeling good for a few months, like my head. And I was like, don't even tell me something's wrong again with my neck. And I went in to get an MRI and I herniated the disc above where I had surgery. So my doctor was like, that's it. You're done. I kept telling you not to go back. And I was like, wait, let's fix it. And he's like, you have a double spine fusion. That's it. Like, no more working out. So for me, he retired me, which I was really upset about. It was like April, right? Yeah, actually a year last week, I got officially retired. You could still wrestle.
I could, but I'm retired. But sometimes I tell her, WWE does have these women tag titles, and it's the one thing we haven't gotten. And I was like, ugh. Here we were like the longest tag team that they had for the women. And we're like, how do we not ever get the, you know, women tag titles.
I got it. Okay. So you roll in a wheelchair like it's not happening. You have another partner. The partner goes down. It's over. But you tag your sister in for one last hurrah to fucking win it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's good, actually.
And if we're heels.
Not a wheelchair, but works. Like, you know, you're out of commission. That's it. Like, it's been known. Yeah. You're done. You have a new partner, which is driving you crazy because you're like, fuck that. There's a thing between the sisters. Like, I kind of don't like you right now, but I'm here to support you. I got to finish off sort of what we haven't. You know, we haven't finished, you know, and then boom, your partner goes down. You tag in the sister.
Yeah, this is good.
And boom!
This is good. But I feel like we need some sort of match footage of the kids in the green room and them kind of being, you know, mothering.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Before.
Oh, dude, mommy tag team.
They win their
titles.
Totally.
Yeah.
It'd be even cooler, actually, if we were like breastfeeding them, like handing them over.
Exactly.
Especially to like my ballroom fiance, like dancer. Like, oh, here you go. Mommy has to go fight and kick some ass.
But then you're actually breastfeeding each other's babies.
Yeah. Which is just Actually, Bree just has her feet up, and I'm breastfeeding them both at the same time.
Yeah, as I'm like getting ready for the match.
And then I pass them over and get into the wheelchair, and I'm like, let's go. Let's roll.
I feel like we're on to something. Have you always felt supported by the WWE? I mean, I know, like, is this a real big family, and is it a lovely, you know, do they take care of everybody?
So, I mean, we definitely have. Like, the one thing that Nicole and I have always felt with WWE is when you're grateful for what they've done for you and you kind of really look at it like, you know what, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for them. You're part of, like, what feels like a good family. It's unfortunate because a lot of wrestlers do leave and they kind of just, they bash, like, WWE and they'll bash Vince and, like, all of it. But at the same time, I'm like, every boss is tough. Like, I haven't ever met a boss that was easy. But at the end of the day, he gave me an opportunity that if you told me as a kid, I would see the world, I'd be able to own like a home and like be able to vacation when I want and like do all these cool things. I would have never believed you. But I'm like, Vince gave me that opportunity. Like, he believed in me when I was just like a nobody coming off the Sky Bar with a couple $1,000 to my name.
With your kicks and kicks and your sis and your car driving cross country.
Yeah.
I mean,
stopping for $2, you call it, Mobile, Alabama.
Loved it. We're excited. We loved our $2, you call it.
Do you feel that you've been paid rightfully so compared to some of your male counterparts and peers in WWE?
I mean, when we were active, I definitely felt, I remember at times, like, I would know some of the guys that were making more than us, but I knew we were bringing in more, and that was, like, really difficult. And there was some of the women that were starting to become outspoken about it, and it was hard because I really wanted to be, and then in the back of my mind, I kept hearing, like, don't bite the hand that feeds you, but at the other hand, I was like, I'm working so hard, literally breaking my neck for this business. And I'm more over than this guy, and he's getting paid more just because he's a male. And it was hard, and it was like there was so much more I wanted to do, and then I broke my neck. And it was like right when I felt like I finally was able to get that voice about pay. But I definitely remember that period of time that it was super frustrating. But we were raised that you have to be so grateful for everything. And so that would always be my inner struggle, is like when you come, like, we didn't have much growing up. And so then all of a sudden I felt like, okay, but if I bitch about it, like, I have so much more than what I grew up with. Like, am I going to lose it all? And it was such a struggle because I tell Bri, at times I wish I fought even harder for those kind of things instead of for the women having more TV time and being treated. Like, we are so focused on being treated with respect, but more like the Me Too and Time's Up feel than the pay, because we were just like, we're not just the icing on the cake anymore. Like, we're the main entrees here. And so it's been like a battle, and now they're finally like there. Like, when I hear with the women, it's like just started this past year where a lot of the women are making more than the men, which rightfully so, because the women right now are doing more.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's I think it's a learning process for everybody, which women have always had a hard time asking for what they deserve.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
And so I agree.
Then all of a sudden you have these couple women who come out in front of it, and you're like, oh shit, like, I got a lot of stories about this. But then you don't really want to, like you said, bite the hand that feeds you, nor do you want to. Sometimes, you know, this my thing is nor do you want, you know, that it's that thing that you hear or that you've kind of been programmed to feel like that girl. I don't want to be that girl,
exactly.
You know, who's like hard to work with or asking for too much. And I want to be liked, and I want to be asked to come back, and I don't want to, you know, I want to be grateful. And then next thing you know, you're like, what the fuck? How much did he get paid compared to what? And you could look at numbers and statistics and everything and just be like, it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up.
Totally. And I think, too, like, why a lot of us didn't speak up is we were lucky enough where the numbers weren't a huge difference. Like, because there were some of the top guys that were making a lot, and I even understood that. I'm like, okay, they are the headliners, and in our industry, they were still bringing in more people than us. It was more the mid-card guys, but I guess it wasn't like such a big difference. I felt like the one thing that they lacked, especially when we were in our prime with divas, they didn't capitalize on the women. They were so focused on the men that they lost a whole audience that they could still have today because they just didn't believe in our mission or what we were doing and the changes we were making. I felt like we could have made an even bigger tidal wave if the company was behind us even more. They were behind us, but if they could have capitalized in so many different ways. And I think politics always come into play. I think in every industry, you have your favorites, you have who they want to push, who they don't. But at times I'm like, oh, what they really could have done with this big group of women mm-hmm. would have been so amazing mm-hmm. worldwide. Mm-hmm. We did a lot, but oh my gosh, I we would always talk about that. I'm like, they could have capitalized and used us even more.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They yeah. missed out on a lot.
Did you end up fighting Rhonda?
I did.
Nicole did. And I was like out there with her because we were the bad guys.
Yeah.
How was that?
That it was tough. Like her strength is crazy. I just remember even when we went and did a practice and she like threw me and I've been slammed for 13 years. Her slam compared to anyone else's, I was like, oh shit, this is a tough bitch.
Really?
Yeah, she's so crazy strong. And so like, I just remember I had to prep differently for that match, just even mentally. Just because I knew having like a 20-minute fight or however long we went, how that would feel. But yeah, it was unlike any experience, like any experience I've had in the WWE. Like it was so different.
I remember that.
Well, it was funny because we'd start to do these Instagrams to each other. And I was like, did she just bashed me? And I would do one back and I'm like,
she was like really getting like, this under sounds, your skin.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like we talked about it.
Oh, I would call and, Nicole and I was like, you serious?
And
she
so
serious?
Like mainstream was really picking it up because it was like,
cause she got all UFC on you.
Yeah.
So I want to know what your focus is in business now and what you're looking forward to and talk a little bit about your memoir that's coming out.
Okay. Yeah. So the big focus that we've been having with our companies right now, because we have Birdie Bee, which is our lifestyle line. We have hair and skin. Yes. Hair and skincare line, Nicole and Breezy. And then we have a wine, Bonita Bonita and Bella Radici. And the biggest thing that we both have been pushing is to make more eco-friendly, more green. So we've worked on, yes, mm-hmm. that with Birdie Bee and we're now there. So now our biggest one is we've been since been in quarantine working on Nicole and Breezy. And it was a huge passion of mine. And the one thing I told Nicole with business and just slowing down at this time is like, I kind of lost my values in business. And I'm like, I need to bring my values back. I think that happens. Sometimes you have so many people on your team and your opinion, like not everyone agrees with. So you kind of just get quiet and let everyone just kind of go. But I was like, you know what? I should have been the one with the louder voice, not the quieter voice. And I've learned that just in the last couple of weeks. Like, I need my voice to be louder when it comes to dealing with our teams. And we both kind of just, I guess, together. Like, mm-hmm. we know our brand works good together. Like, being the Bella Twins.
Works well.
Yeah, works well. There you go. That's why I need her.
It's unique.
And we do always like, we'll talk like, gosh, should we do things different, like apart? Because I am someone who lives a different life than her. And I do feel like I have an audience that would relate more to me if I gave them a product that I believed in and she's different. Yeah. But then at the end of the day, we always just feel like we're more powerful as a team.
Yeah, we are. And it's funny because Brie and I have been going through our goals as we've been in quarantine and we're just massive winos. And we realized like we love wine and we want to get to Napa Valley in a few years. And we're like, how do we do it? We, you know, we're going to be 37 in November. We don't want to wake up to vineyards when we're 60 and only enjoy it for like 20 or so years if we live a long life. So we're like, let's get there sooner than later and start waking up to vineyards and being even more involved in our wine industry. It's like we kind of been breaking down our passions and like, where do we put more of our equity and our time? And it's something I've learned a lot because I'm such a workhorse, but I've kind of now and like want to just watch the sun rise and the sun set and, you know, be around people that have like-minded. Jeez, mm-hmm. I don't know.
And also you grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Just like come right back around.
It does come back around. It's so crazy. I miss the smell of like horse shit.
Yeah.
Like I never would have thought.
Yeah.
You get to break the cycle on the places you want to break it, but like come back to the things that make you feel good. You know, growing up on land. Ollie and I grew up in Colorado, like on land.
And we want that for our kids. Like I want that for Birdie and we want it for these two when they come. So
yeah. Okay. Let's do our speed round.
Okay.
One word to describe the other.
My word for Nikki is fierce.
My word for Brie is goofy.
Do you call her Nikki or Nicole?
Nicole. You call me Nicole.
Okay, Nicole.
But most people call you Nikki.
Yeah. You could call me either. Yeah.
So what about at 13? Same words or different words?
Free spirit. Brie. Brie's a free spirit. Was.
Yeah. Is, at 13, but. I kind of thought you were a bitch. I would have used bitch.
Whatever. At least I stuck up for myself.
That's great. Who calls the other more?
I think it's pretty even.
It is pretty even.
Maybe me. Nicole calls you a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I have a kid, so.
Who's more competitive? That's a good one.
Oh.
Nicole is way more competitive.
Clearly. I've gotten that. I could have gotten that in the first 10 minutes of our conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even want to play me in like tic-tac-toe. It gets for awful.
Do you play games?
We do.
Yeah.
We'll do board games. We haven't though done it in a while.
I know. You know what I love is Yahtzee and I haven't played yet.
Yeah, you mom
are the best. I love Yahtzee.
Yahtzee's so fun.
So who's the better singer?
Oh, I am. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give us a hit a little note?
No, because I'm not good. I'm just better than you. And I think it's just because I sing to my kid all the time, so it makes me better.
Do you love to sing?
I do. You know, I like to silly sing. Like, I feel like if I wanted to be a singer, they'd be like, who would you want to be? I'd want to be like on Broadway, like be a character singing and having fun, telling a story. I wouldn't want to be like a pop star. Like, I want to do fun singing.
Fun. Better dancer?
Oh, me. Nicole for sure.
Yeah, I gave up on TikTok. She kept making me do like TikTok dances, and I'm like, I can't do this.
It was one day, and you couldn't even get it right.
Well, I mean, I hate TikTok. I won't sign up. I even posted it
because it was the worst ever.
I can't do TikTok either. I don't know how to do it. It's too weird.
No, she's like obsessed right now, and I'm like, I don't even want to go there.
I have two videos.
Who's more dramatic?
Nicole.
Oh my. Oh, that sounded dramatic. Whatever.
You for sure are.
If you were playing Truth or Dare, who would take more dares?
Nicole.
Yeah.
Most disagreed on topic.
We always fight over how we speak to each other. Like the tones of our voices. It's weird. Like her and I see eye to eye on everything. But if she interrupts me or I interrupt her and it's with a certain tone, it becomes like this big disagreement that blows into
insane.
World War II.
Over three. Like the World War II happened, so it'd be World War III.
And so
that's funny. It's World War II all over again. How about
that?
No, but by the way, tone is everything. You know, because words are just words, but it's what's behind the words. It's tone.
Right.
A secret talent your sister has.
My sister loves to write poetry.
Whoa.
I do.
And
that's
like
my
deep,
soft side.
Like deep poetry.
I know. It does. It gets pretty deep.
Wow. Dark or light?
Dark.
Is it?
Dark.
Paper and pen's the only thing I like to be honest with.
Do you like to share? Really. Do you share it?
She's shared a couple.
I've shared a couple. And then, it. You know, a lot of people just don't get it. Sometimes when you share poetry, they think like you're about to jump off a bridge or you're always talking about the same guy. And I just, I'm like, I'm not even going to share this. I shared two and I feel like only people who understand poetry get it, which is not majority of the world. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I shouldn't even admit this, but I have a fake Twitter account that I have thoughts, I've never even told you.
You have a fake Twitter account?
Well, I don't follow anyone or anything. It's to put writing stuff. Like, it's really, like, cryptic, cool
What's
stuff.
What's its name?
I'm not going to say.
How did you not tell me this?
Because it's so much fun.
No,
there's something really
one.
Like...
where I can just go off on people.
Yeah.
But my thing is, how do you have time for it?
Well, I mean, girl, it takes like a second to write a tweet, right?
I mean, it's hard thought. For me to do Twitter.
Okay. Who is the better at cook?
Oh, I am for sure.
Brie.
Brie is.
Brie.
Who gives better advice?
Brie.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Both.
Mine always comes from a sincere place.
What about something that your sister's really bad at?
I'm trying to think what you're really bad at.
Oh, nothing.
I mean, you're not the best driver.
No, you're not the best driver.
No, I'm fearless when I drive. You're
which is exactly. I'm always
P-U-S-S-Y.
Terrified.
Why?
I drive like a grandma. She drives like a bat out of hell. It's like awful.
All right, first celebrity crush.
Oh, my first celebrity crush was it Axl Rose? Yeah, Axl Rose.
And mine was Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, similar.
Ooh,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The long hair.
Take me to the place I love. Take me over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about a good book to read. His autobiography.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
good.
Good.
Yeah.
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 What about your first childhood crush? Real one.
Oh, mine was what's his face from Raleigh?
Tyler Sanders.
Ew, no. He was older. The one, like, he'd make me go play hide and seek.
Ew,
and he'd be like, if I find you, I'd give you a kiss. Blaze.
Blaze.
Yeah. I'd be like, yay. And I'd hide for like hours and he'd just leave. It's like, fucker.
Who was my childhood crush?
I don't know. You're weird.
No. I mean, I had like crushes, like boys I liked in middle school. Is that a crush?
What about your first kiss?
My first kiss was in sixth grade. Who was it?
Nate Guido.
Oh, no. Yeah, Nate Guido. What was his
name? I watched it. It was so nasty.
You watched
it? It was
the first
like kiss? Watching people not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, because it was like a kiss, but then we tried a French kiss, too, and it was like gross.
Sick.
But I mean, I was into it. I thought it was good.
I spit after mine and offended the guy, and I was like, get over it. I didn't know what to do.
Like, because it was so gross. You're like, ugh.
It was just so wet, and I was such a tomboy, and then I was like... And then, like, everyone made fun of him for, like, a year. And
how old were you?
Sixth grade at the mall parking lot. Brendan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
Okay, favorite book?
Mine would be The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Great book.
I can't think of titles right now, but I love Deepak.
Deepak.
Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
If you could quote one movie from start to finish, what would it be?
Dumb and Dumber.
I that also says so answer. Much about both the how different you guys are.
Yeah.
So great.
So true.
Okay, couple. If you could eat one food forever, what would it be?
Sushi.
Is that like, do you have to say one food? Like, oh. Not a
sushi.
Crispy,
good.
Spicy tuna. You know, the crispier, spicy tuna on top?
Yeah, mine it's would be best. Pizza.
You are obsessed.
I love pizza.
What would make your sibling the most tongue-tied?
Any, tell her to say caterpillar or anything with S's.
Well, like tongue.
I know, but that's what would literally make you tongue-tied.
Are you not good with are you not good with S's?
I mean, I went to speech class like when I was
mean, we
kid.
Both are pretty bad. Our dad mainly spoke Spanish, but didn't teach us Spanish, but yet we got a lisp, but aren't like bilingual.
We spoke English all the time at home. I just think we dealt with his lisp, and then I got it. And then I had to like try to undo it.
She would always have to say like, Sally sells
sea sells by the seashore. Or whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
That one used to always screw me.
If you could, two-part question, right? So if you could take one thing from your sibling that you could have as your own, a quality of some sort, what would it be? And the second part is, if you could take something away that is ailing them or that could alleviate something in them, what would that be?
That's such a good question. Wow. I think what I would take from you is
how
you've always had boundaries and I haven't. So that's what I take from you is your boundaries with people and business and blah, blah, blah. And then what I'd never want from you.
No, I think what you would alleviate from me.
Oh, yeah. What you need to get rid of, the juju off you, is you're very quick to judge situations when it deals with me.
Oh, okay.
So...
Little
what you're gonna fight out
little yeah. little judgy, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Okay, not really. But what I take from you after that would be your
okay. Girls Gone Wild personality.
I think it's
without
her,
feeling shame.
Yeah, right. No, her kind of effort personality. Mm-hmm. I would like, because I am someone who hates confrontation and also like can feel guilty quick. So the effort, because it'd be nice to like maybe tell people off and then go live my day as if I didn't even remember it.
It feels great.
And then one thing I would alleviate off her is sometimes the one thing she gets hammered in the press a lot about her past, especially like with her ex. And I'd like to like take that and just like chuck it.
Mm-hmm. That was so really nice of you.
I know. Well, obvious. I'm the nicer twin.
Sweet. That was sweet.
I wish I could have touched your guys' bellies.
I know.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, well, you girls are the best.
Thank you guys,
you guys
so
are
much.
Yeah. Thank you. That was so fun.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarn.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.